today as we come to the table.
There's nothing wrong in receiving an inheritance. That is a blessing. And the Bible even says that the righteous will leave an inheritance, and even to their children's children. So even something for the grandkids, you know, God says that he wants to bless us in that way. But the bottom line is, when it comes to the things of the spirit and things of the world, which is more important to us? Are we more concerned about losing the blessing, the family will, the goods, the nice car, the nice home, the retirement, the vacations? Or are we more concerned about our spiritual walk with God? See, Jacob, although a deceiver, was more concerned about his walk with God. Esau was only concerned about the blessing. And how many people are like that today?
In a fast-paced world, it's all too easy to get caught up in the noise of daily life. Chasing temporary pleasures and material gains, everything is fighting for your attention so that it can control your life. But as Pastor Mark talks about in today's message, your main focus in life needs to be on the Lord. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. The scriptures remind us that when we seek first the kingdom of God, all else falls into place. By making our spiritual walk with the Lord the top priority, we discover an unwavering source of strength, hope, and love that sustains us through life's challenges. When you place your faith in Him, He will provide. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 27. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 27. Now we are going to finish chapter 27 and even get into the first 9 verses of chapter 28 as the story really runs together and flows together good there. And why don't we just read together starting in verse 30. Notice it says, "Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from hunting. And he also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me.' And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' And he said, 'Well, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau.' And then Isaac trembled exceedingly. And he said, 'Who? Where's the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed.' And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me also, O my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing.' And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these 2 times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he's taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?' Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I've made him your master, and all his brethren I've given to him as servants. With grain and wine I've sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?' And Esau said to his father, 'Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, O my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And then Isaac his father answered and said to him, 'Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck.' So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father are at hand, and then I will kill my brother Jacob.' And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. And so she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise and flee to my brother Laban in Haran and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. And then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?'" Father, I pray that as we see Esau's foolish choices and the inevitable consequences that came with those choices, God, that we would take it as a warning. Lord, we all make choices every day. And God, we see the choices that Esau made brought him great distress, great trouble, great cursing in his life. And God, some of us here have made decisions that have brought distress and cursing in our life. But God, you have given us a way to turn that around through your son, Jesus Christ. And my desire this morning, God, is that we would heed the warning of Esau, and that if we are making foolish choices, we would begin today to make wise choices, knowing that the choices we make today will be the garden of harvest tomorrow. So God, convict us and use us. Lord, minister to us and through us in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled today, Foolish Choices and Inevitable Consequences. You know, whenever we make foolish choices in our life, there will always be inevitable consequences that come with that. And that's what we're going to see in Esau's life today. You know, one of the things that I think that we miss oftentimes growing up is that we don't realize that the choices that we make are going to affect our life later on. Now that we're older, we know that, don't we? You know, when I look back at my teen years, and I was thinking about that even just this week. And again, this particular teaching brings it back to my mind. But I think back on the years, the teen years and stuff, and some of the things that I did that I thought, you know what, this isn't going to affect me at all. There's no consequence. There's no worry to this. Don't worry about it. And then today to realize that it has affected my life and is still affecting my life. And the reality is, as we get older, we realize that the decisions we made years earlier affect our lives later on. But you know, we don't always see that when we're younger, do we? We tend to think, you know what, I can get away with this. I can do this. It's not going to affect me, but it does affect me. And I've often thought how often I wish I could go back and relive those days, you know, and take away that stuff. Haven't we all thought that before, that we could go back and start over? But again, I think it's so important for us to realize that the choices we make today are going to have consequences for us tomorrow. Now, we can't change the choices of yesterday, but we can change the choices of today. And this is where my heart is heavy. I hope that today it's not just a Bible study. Let me say this. I love to study God's word, and I love to get into God's word. But my desire is that it's not just getting into God's word and gaining head knowledge, but that we really take this to heart today and say, you know what? How am I living today? What are the choices I'm making right now on this day in June? The choices that I'm making, how is it affecting my life, and how will it affect my life in the future? And so that we can challenge ourselves and say, you know, I want to do something about it. Esau made some big mistakes. And you know, even to the point of where we are today in this story, he still could have changed his ways. Although we're going to see him suffer consequences, he still could have changed his ways right here and not had the consequences of eternity that he faces down the road. And yet he didn't. And now we're going to see the choices he made earlier are now affecting him in a great way. And we're going to see that it brings weeping and sorrow into his life. And again, God would spare us as much of that as possible. And that's why we need to learn from this and say, God, show me what I'm doing today so that I can make sure that I'm taking care of tomorrow. Remember, the garden you plant today is going to be the harvest of tomorrow. And I think sometimes we think we can just plant whatever we want and not worry about it because we don't see the immediate results. I'll never forget when Tracy wanted to plant a garden one time, you know, and we had an area there in the backyard in Santa Fe where she could plant a little garden. And so she planted the garden and, you know, did everything or whatever. And she would go out every day and look at it, look at the dirt, you know, waiting for something to sprout up. And I told her, I said, it's going to take forever if you do that. She just stared to see it come up. And because you don't see the immediate results, sometimes you begin to wonder, is this really going to bring any fruit? It did bear fruit. And it did bring some harvest out of it, but it was over time, and it was something that just, you know, happened. And that's how it is when our choices that we make affect the garden of tomorrow. Because again, we don't always see it today, but there is going to be a consequence. Now, last week, we ended with Rebekah and Jacob, you remember, conspiring to steal Esau's blessing, the blessing of the firstborn. But in reality, Esau had already brought this consequence upon himself. Now, I'm not making excuses for Rebekah and Jacob and their deceit and their plan to, you know, rip off Esau and this kind of thing and deceive Isaac. But at the same time, remember, the consequences that we see that Esau faces today, although brought in by, of course, Rebekah and Jacob and the choices they made, it was truly something that happened long before with Isaac, or rather with Esau. And that is, the decisions Esau made long before were now just bearing fruit. It was harvest time. And now we're seeing that this is how the harvest came to pass. So again, I'm not taking up for their deception. But again, we do see that Esau brought this on himself. And it is interesting to me to watch people reject God and the work of God in their life. All their life, through all their years. And then when their life bears the consequences and the fruit of a life that's rejected God and turned away, they actually begin to blame God. Have you ever seen that? They say, well, how could God do this? How could a God of love? And they begin to blame God for the situation in their life, when in reality, whose fault is it? It's their own fault, because they planted the seeds of those consequences years before by rejecting the work of God in their life and by allowing God to work. Well, we're going to see that Esau does the same thing today. He begins to blame Jacob. He begins to blame, you know, others for the things that he's done in his life, but it's his fault. Notice, again, we left off last week with the whole scene where he came in and put on, you know, Esau's clothes and put on the hair on his arms and deceived his dad and all this. And notice verse 30. It happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. Now, this has all the intrigue of a great drama, does it not? You have the whole scene of the deception with the family, and I mean, Jacob just gets out. And then what happens? You know, Esau, Dad, it's ready. I mean, I wonder, you know, what it was like. And no doubt, Jacob ran back to his tent. You know, and tent walls, as we said, are very thin. And he hears Esau coming in. He's already caught the food. He's already cooked the food. He's bringing it in to Dad, and he barely gets by, and Esau shows up. And so we see this kind of passing, you know, real quickly where, again, they just miss each other, and it increases the drama. And notice it says in verse 31, he had also made savory food, and he brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? And he said, well, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. He's probably thinking, no, Dad is getting old, isn't he? You know, you're the one that just sent me to go and kill this and prepare. What do you mean, who am I? I'm your firstborn Esau. I'm just ready for the blessing. And then Esau trembled exceedingly. Interesting, in the language, it means to shake violently. Now, I don't know what that looked like, you know. I mean, you ever seen babies when they get a baby and sometimes they just kind of, you ever seen a baby do that? You know, they kind of, anyway, that's a dad thing. I'm sorry. But anyway, just kind of this shaking, this violent shaking going on here that was happening here. And it must have been quite the scene, because, I mean, it gives an idea here of more than just trembling on the inside. It gives this idea of this, you know, visible, aggressive shaking that's going on here, you know. When he finds out, he trembled exceedingly. And he said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I've blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed. And so now the reality of the deception of Rebecca and Jacob hits, you know, Isaac, and it also hits Esau, and they realize, you know what? I didn't see this coming. It's this reality that adds a trembling to my life and a shaking. And isn't that how consequences are that we don't see coming? For years, we plant seeds of unrighteousness and sin or whatever, and all of a sudden, all the walls come tumbling down, and we find ourselves shaken exceedingly because we've been planting it, and now the fruit has come in. And all this time, we thought we were getting away with it. No one knows. You know, note this, believer as well as unbeliever, if you don't know the Lord today, everything we do, the Lord knows about and sees, and one day we will be accountable for. Now, as a believer, we are forgiven. And I thank God for that. Isn't that great news? All the stuff you've done, here's the bad news. Everything you've ever done was written down and recorded, good and bad. Okay, put fear in your heart. Here's the good news for the believer. When you gave your life to Christ, it was all erased. Isn't that great? I love that part of the story. That's my favorite. And that's where the gospel means good news. Is that not good news? When I stand before the Lord, I don't have to say, oh no, he's going to talk about that and in front of everybody and, nope, nobody's going to know it but the Lord and I, and he says he's throwing it away. So I'm throwing it away too, and we're going to move on with a big smile. I love that part of the gospel. That's what it's about. But here's the bad news. If you don't know the Lord today, everything you've ever done has been written down and it's still there. And the Bible says one day you will stand before the Lord, and not only will God confront you on it, it will be revealed to everyone throughout eternity. That is intimidating. And that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. And now we see in this situation here that the consequences, in other words, on that day are going to hit those who have not received Christ as to what they've really done. Now the consequences are hitting Isaac. The consequences are hitting Esau. They're realizing what they have done. Remember, Isaac was a willing partner in this deception. And he realizes that he was deceiving and God didn't let him. God didn't let him pull it off. Esau realizes he gave it up, and now the consequences for giving it up are coming to roost. And so he trembles exceedingly. And notice he says, I've already blessed him and he shall be blessed. Understand, once a blessing was given, it was a binding covenant in that day. We now know from archaeology and history that the Nuzi people in Mesopotamia, when they're during this time, whenever the father gave the oral blessing, it was a legal binding contract. So understand, when he gave this blessing, this vow before God, it was a binding contract before man and before God. And he realized, I've done it. I can't take it back. It's already been given to the one that it was given to. In other words, the dotted line has been signed. And so now Esau, realizing that the family will, in essence, had been distributed, that the contract was signed by all the legal, you know, people that needed to sign it and the paperwork done, he says, hey, I've been had. And it's this, you know, Jacob again doing this, but again, realize it was Esau that did it to himself. It wasn't Jacob that had done this. And so we're going to see in a moment again, he tries to blame Jacob. And again, I'm not taking up for Jacob's ways, but Esau brought this on himself. And notice verse 34, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, well, your brother came with deceit. You know, and again, hey, you're one to talk of deceit. You were being deceitful. Esau was deceitful. Everyone was deceitful. But he says, your brother came with deceit and he's taken away your blessing. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? Which means, as we said, supplanter, or we would translate that into a deceiver. Notice he says, for he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Now, this is interesting. He says he's taken away my blessing. You know, he didn't really care anything about the fact that his birthright was lost. He only cared about the fact that his blessing was lost. Notice that. And what was the more important of the two? The birthright. Let me put this in modern day language. It would be like saying this, what is more important, your relationship to God or your family inheritance? Now, if you immediately said my family inheritance, your heart's in the wrong place because you're after the bucks. You're after the money. Listen, there's nothing wrong in receiving a family inheritance. I mean, all of us enjoy receiving a family inheritance and probably all of us hope that we have one. You know, maybe some rich uncle we didn't know about who leaves it all to us, right? Or something, you know, if you know your mom and dad don't, the bottom line is there's nothing wrong in receiving an inheritance. That is a blessing. And the Bible even says that the righteous will leave an inheritance and even to their children's children. So even something for the grandkids, you know, God says that he wants to bless us in that way. But the bottom line is when it comes to the things of the spirit and things of the world, which is more important to us? Are we more concerned about losing the blessing, the family will, the goods, the nice car, the nice home, the retirement, the vacations? Or are we more concerned about our spiritual walk with God? See, Jacob, although a deceiver, was more concerned about his walk with God. Esau was only concerned about the blessing. And how many people are like that today? They don't really care about the things of God. All they want is the blessing. Oh, but they want the blessing that comes with God. They want the benefits that come with Christianity. Oh, maybe they even come to church on Sunday morning. They show up. They want to be around the people of God. They do the whole outward thing, the whole appearance that everything's going right. And they want the blessings of God. God bless my life. But they don't want the commitment. And let me tell you this, without the commitment, the blessings can't flow. Now, God gives limited blessings to everyone. The Bible says his sun shines on the good and the evil. He rains rain on the good and the evil. So God blesses both. But the true blessings of God in this world and the eternal blessings of God in the next world only come by the commitment to Jesus Christ. That's how they come. And again, a lot of people want the benefits without the commitment. You know, we have a society today that wants the benefit without the commitment. I simply lay out there before you the whole living together phenomena in America today. You know what that is? That's wanting the benefits of marriage without the commitment. And ladies, the ladies are the ones getting ripped off because they're thinking, hey, this guy's going to love me. This guy's going to commit. Let me say something. It's simply a lazy guy, a lazy bum who won't take the responsibility to say, you know what? If I'm going to live with you, I'm going to marry you first so that I'm committed and so that I'm responsible. But if I don't have to, forget it. I'm not going to. I'll take the benefits. And again, people show up at church today and say, you know what? I'll take the benefits of people thinking I'm a Christian and being nice to me. Maybe it'll help the business settle a little more insurance deals on the side. Let them know about the car dealership. Whatever I can do to increase my business, my real estate, or whatever the case might be, you name it. And so we're looking for the benefits and basically sleeping with the church without a commitment to the Lord. And that's exactly what Esau was doing here. He's saying, I want the benefits. And where's my blessing? I don't care about that old birthright thing. I know the birthright dealt with the spiritual stuff. I don't care about all the spiritual stuff. I don't care about the commitment. Who cares what mom and dad went? I want the blessing. And now we see further the heart of Esau here as he's being revealed for what he really is and what he really cares about. You know, he doesn't honor God, and yet he feels that somehow God should honor him. You know, again, there are people like that today. You know, they think that because they simply go to church, or that just because God is God, that somehow God is obligated to them. Guys, note this. God isn't obligated to anyone. He simply blesses because he's good, but he's not obligated to anyone. He's the Lord. And so a lot of times people think, you know, hey, I deserve this, and God owes this to me. Not at all. And now we see here, he says, he's taken away my blessing. And again, it means to lay hold of or to seize. And it's interesting because Esau is saying, even as Jacob, you know, took hold of my heel at birth and tried to seize my, you know, being the first one born. Now he's trying to seize the blessing that comes with it. But again, Esau's forgetting he's the one that gave it away for a bowl of stew. And again, now, as it has had time to stew, he's suffering the consequences. And although Jacob did get the blessing by trickery, it was, you know, Esau who made his decision. And so Esau just says, hey, he's living up to his name. He's, you know, calling him a rat, in other words, but really he was the rat as well, both of them messing up here. But notice, he wants the blessing. And then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I've made him your master, and all his brethren I've given to him as servants with grain and wine, and I have sustained him. What shall I do for you now, my son? And Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, oh my father. Notice this, and Esau lifted up his voice and wept. You know, it's interesting, when he lost his birthright, we don't see any word of him weeping, do we? It's when he lost the blessing. And again, how many people today, they don't really care about the things of the Spirit. You know, it doesn't really matter about the things of the Spirit. What matters is God going to bless me financially? Am I going to have gain? You know, and this kind of thing. And I've seen people get mad at God. I've seen people get angry at God because they say, God has not blessed me financially like he should have. And God owes me that. Wait a minute. Listen, we have a heart of Esau looking to God just to be the God of blessing? Or do we have the heart of Jacob? Yes, I know that Jacob was a deceiver, but really wanting the blessings of the Lord and wanting to walk with God. And again, when he traded his eternal blessing, his birthright, for the temporary bowl of stew, he didn't consider the tragic consequence that awaited him. And now the realities of this consequence is coming to pass. And again, I think that he didn't realize it until this moment, but you know what's even sadder? A lot of people don't realize the consequence they're going to face. The Bible says until the day of judgment. A lot of people think they're going to be fine. They've been, you know, mostly good. They've gone to church when they could, and they believe, I'm going to stand before God that day and everything's going to be okay. But you know what? The Bible says that there are going to be many that stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, and they're going to believe that they're right with God, but they're going to be rejected. Jesus said, speaking in Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23, said this, many will say to me in that day, in what day? In the day they stand before him. Many will stand before me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Now understand, these are people who believe they were right with God. This isn't the unbeliever who says, well, I knew I rejected. I knew I didn't want God. These are people who no doubt were in church every week. These are people who said, we've done things. We went on missions trips. I'll never forget reading John Wesley's testimony. He went on a mission trip to America from Europe before he ever came to Christ. That's a long way to travel back then for no reason. He didn't even know the Lord. He didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, but he traveled across the ocean to do a good thing that took, you know, weeks and to get here, you know, and to come and to share and then to go back and all that you could face with disease and all. Well, how many people have thrown their life into villages and things and done things because they want to be a good person and help somebody, but they've never received forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ and his cross? And you know what? It's not going to do them any good on that day. It doesn't matter how many good things we do.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you. or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.